Hi, I'm Jessica Steinberg.
And I'm Amanda Borchel-Dunn. Welcome to the Times of Israel's Daily Briefing.
Your update on what's important in Israel, the Middle East,
and the Jewish world.
Hi, welcome to the Times of Israel's Daily Briefing. It is Wednesday, May 18th. I'm Jessica Steinberg. I'm joined today by political correspondent Tal Schneider and religion and diaspora affairs reporter Judah Ari Gross. Hello to you both. Good morning.
Hi, Jessica.
Morning.
So we're talking about a few different items today, starting with Lag BaOmer, the Jewish holiday that is marked by bonfires in Israel. It is also the first anniversary of last year's disaster on Mount Meron. We'll hear from Judah what's going to be happening this year. We also will talk about the apology from the World Zionist Organization over their cooperation with an ultra-Orthodox group and violent protests at the Women of the Wall earlier this month, and Judah will explain what's going on with that. And Tal will also speak about a bill for subsidizing academic scholarships for IDF soldiers. And that bill is in the Knesset right now and what's happening with it. Judah, let's get started with you. It is 1 year since the tragedy on Har Meron, on Mount Meron, where 45 men and boys were crushed to death during their annual pilgrimage to the grave of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's marking the anniversary of his death on Lag BaOmer. What's going to happen this year? The holiday starts tonight into tomorrow. What will we be seeing that will be different, that will obviously save this from happening ever again?
Yeah. So last year during this celebration, it's called Yom Hilulah. It's this big, massive gathering that happens on Mount Meron in northern Israel every year. It sort of started as this somewhat smaller, esoteric Hasidic tradition that's since sort of grown and grown and grown over the years. And until recently, it was something that, you know, tens of thousands of people would come to one night on this relatively small mountain around the tomb of Bar Yochai, who's also known as the Rashbi, who's sort of this mystical rabbi who told his followers to celebrate the anniversary of his death. And it had sort of grown into this massive thing. And in the meantime, the facilities on the site had not grown with the number of people that were getting there. And there was never really any clear delineation of who was responsible for what. You'd have different Hasidic sects sort of building new things, adding things on without proper permits, without safe, you know, proper safety precautions. And for years, people have been warning that this was something that was a potential risk. And last year, it very much came to fruition in a tragic way. There was basically an exit ramp that became just a bottleneck, and there was a panic. And people in that confusion and fear, 45 people were crushed to death. And so immediately this prompted sort of not only a specific investigation into that ramp and sort of what specifically happened, but sort of the larger issue of these festivities and who's responsible. A government inquiry was launched, and they made recommendations at the end of last year that are being implemented for this year. The main thing that's happening, there's sort of two main things that are happening. One is they're significantly limiting the number of people who can attend the festival. There will still be probably overall sort of tens of thousands of people who will attend, but at any given time, there will only be 16,000 people on Mount Meron, sort of in this compound at any given point in time. Sort of the absolute maximum number is 16,000. People are going to get in with tickets. They can't come on foot. They have to go through organized buses and shuttles and things like that. And sort of the other main thing is there was some very clear delineation of who is responsible for what. But, you know, transportation is being organized by the Ministry of Transportation. The overall event is the responsibility of the Religious Services Ministry. Sort of currently doesn't have an actual minister. It has a long story. We don't need to get into that. But, you know, the organizers of the event are going to be responsible for making sure that 16,000 number is abided by. Police are going to be there. Emergency, the emergency services are going to be there. And really, you know, a lot during the past year, they've also made a number of changes to the infrastructure.
16,000 still seems like an enormous number of people in what is not a very large space, correct?
Yeah, it is. You know, I'll say I will be heading there for the event. It is a lot of people in a very small space. If you've been there before, you can sort of picture it. If you haven't, you know, it's lots of sort of narrow walkways, stone courtyards, sort of rusting metal stairs. It's not a place that screams proper safety precautions.
There is pushback also from the ultra-Orthodox community or portions of it that they want to run it their way. Is that true?
There have been some, you know, some prominent figures that have acknowledged that, you know, some of these things are things that need to, you know, some of these changes to the way that the event is run are things that were necessary in order to keep people safe. But there's also a lot of animosity. There have been a number of senior rabbis who have called for their followers to, you know, not cooperate, to not buy tickets, to show up anyway, to, you know, to break the rules. On Tuesday, there was also a group full of people who were arrested by police making their way to Meron with, you know, bags of tools and hammers and crowbars and wire cutters and different things like that, that they assume, you know, police assume were going to be used to, you know, cut the fences, damage some of the electrical equipment and sort of do different things. There's almost certainly going to be those issues playing out just because of the size of this type of event and the location.
Okay. All right. Well, Judith, thanks for that. We're obviously going to follow what you report from there tonight. And obviously, we're hoping for a quiet marking of the moment this year. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Tal.
Hi, podcast listeners. The Times of Israel is celebrating a decade this year, and I'm happy to invite you to our kickoff TOI at 10 live event series. Join us May 24th at Jerusalem's First Station for Who by Fire, Leonard Cohen and the Yom Kippur War. Author Matti Friedman will be in conversation with TOI editor David Horowitz to discuss his new book on the singer-priest's extraordinary tour for IDF troops in 1973. And of course, there will be live music. If you're in Israel, please join us. If you're not, we'll share a recording after the event exclusively with our TOI community members. For more information and tickets, go to timesofisrael.com/TOI10. That's timesofisrael.com/TOI10. Hope to see you there.
And we're back. So Tal, talk to us about this Knesset bill for IDF soldiers receiving subsidized academic scholarships. It's in the plenum now. Tell us about it. What does it mean in terms of politics right now?
Right, Jessica. So we are expecting another very challenging day at the Israeli Knesset, at the plenum, with this 60 very narrow government who is trying to rely on other parts in the opposition in order to pass bills. Now, specifically, the bill is, you know, the government subsidized academic scholarship for combative soldiers, for lone soldiers, and for low-income soldiers. They get, you know, an amount of money to study. And it has been like that for several years. So some of the soldiers already made commitments on the, you know, the amount that they are supposed to get from the country. The only thing that need to pass is this kind of the procedure, something to make sure that, you know, soldiers that already expended the money will be repaid by the government. So it's not like a whole new bill. Now, the Likud, in its policy, it's the biggest party of the opposition, has announced that they are voting against any kind of bills, no matter what, even if it is something that the Likud has put in place years ago and only needs to be procedural voting in order to complete it, they will vote against in order to embarrass the coalition. Benny Gantz, the defense minister, has said out loud that the Likud is playing politics with soldiers' money. And there is huge criticism coming from all walks against the Likud for voting against something so procedural. And the Likud is actually taking a lot of hit on this decision. And you can hear voices from within the Likud top rank. Yoav Gallant, who is saying this is a wrong decision, we have to support this bill. Also, another former minister, Gila Gamliel, some of them are saying this is the wrong decision. Now, the Likud ranks, they say, if we vote for that, then we will have to explain to the public, why are we voting against Holocaust survivors, more, you know, budget allocation? Why do we vote against teachers' union allocations and so on? So it's better that we vote against everything and not just support anything from this government, because the government needs to go. And I'll give you the formal response of the Likud said that the Likud will support 100% financing for soldiers only on the account of the huge amounts that this government is giving to Mansour Abbas. Now, you may ask, Jessica, what is the relation of Mansour Abbas, the chair of the Islamic movement, to this?
I would ask that.
So as long as you ask this question, let me just tell you that Islamic Party and other Arab parties traditionally have voted against anything that has to do with military expending. Why is that?
It's sure.
Because young people from the Arab society are not enlisted to the military. And, you know, in a way, it's like the combative soldiers get this very good, you know, financing, and they will never be entitled to that. So
they'll never access it.
Right. But because of the Likud behavior in this, on this instance, Ram has announced yesterday that they will vote for the bill. They want to make sure that this government is not falling down, and they will probably. So we're looking, you know, this Wednesday, we're looking for the plenum in a couple of hours to see if Ram indeed will join in. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, there's a four MKs of the Islamic Party vote to subsidize lots of money for combative soldiers.
Okay, that's pretty fascinating. That's ironies on top of ironies, as we like to say. Okay, thanks, Tal. So we'll definitely follow up on that. And Judah, let's get back to you talking about a public apology from the World Zionist Organization about an incident that took place a couple of weeks ago. Fill us in a little bit and then tell us if this apology actually means anything.
At the beginning of each Hebrew month, there's an organization called Women of the Wall that holds a prayer service at the Western Wall, at the Kotel, which is almost always met with protests by ultra-Orthodox activists, lots of times from an organization called the Liba Center. And that happened earlier this month at the start of the Hebrew month of Iyar. But the main difference that happened this month versus any time in the past was that in this case, the activists from the Liba Center were waving the flags of the World Zionist Organization. And that sort of sent a lot of shockwaves around the world, because the World Zionist Organization, which is this sort of umbrella group of all different types, you know, a whole spectrum of Zionist organizations, from left-wing ones to right-wing ones, from ultra-Orthodox ones to reform and conservative ones. It was very, very strange and out of the ordinary to see that flag being waved during this type of protest. And it turned out that what had happened was the Liba Center had reached out to the World Zionist Organization to partner up for an event that they wanted to have at the Western Wall at the same time, on the same day as the Women of the Wall were holding their prayer service. And instead of them holding their prayer service, they held a protest that got violent at times against Women of the Wall. And that prompted a lot of, you know, some fierce backlash from within the Jewish world. There was a board meeting in which they passed this resolution that very clearly, roundly, unequivocally condemned the violence, you know, and specifically singled out, you know, there was initially some attempts to sort of say both sides were violent or something, but it was very clear that that was, you know, that was not the case. And the resolution sort of very much singled out the Liba Center as having, you know, instigated this violence and done unacceptable things. And then not only did it include that condemnation and in that something of an apology, it also included that the World Zionist Organization would no longer partner with organizations like the Liba Center or anybody who actively denigrates other members of the World Zionist Organization. Those were sort of the main issues that the Women of the Wall had come to. First, they wanted some sort of recognition that they'd been wronged here by the World Zionist Organization, and they wanted some kind of a promise for the future that this wouldn't happen again. So that's definitely some of the issues that I'm going to be watching going forward.
Right. And of course, there's always the next Hebrew month in June when that comes up, and we'll see what happens. And just a heads up, Daily Briefing listeners, we have a bonus Times Will Tell podcast that's out right now on the Times Visual. And it is an interview with Joshua Cohen, the newly minted Pulitzer Prize winning author of The Netanyahus. And among other things, the ironies of finding out that he had won the prize while in Jerusalem, the real Netanyahu's hometown. So have a listen to that. It's pretty amusing. In the meantime, we thank you for listening, and we will be back tomorrow with another Daily Briefing.
Thank you, Jessica.
Ciao for now.
Thanks, Jessica.
Thanks for listening to the Times of Israel's Daily Briefing, and thanks to our producer, Gilad Brownstein, and to Gili Amar for this out-of-this-world music.
You can find us daily wherever you find your podcasts.
And on our mothership, timesofisrael.com. Like what you hear? Consider rating us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to spread the word.
And be sure to check out our weekly feature, Times Will Tell, released every Friday. Until next time.
Shalom.